Hey, welcome into the Epicenter, where we're going to continue exploring what it looks like to be the epicenter of the boom. Hey, welcome back into the Epicenter. I'm joined once again.
Welcome in.
By my partner, Roswell.
Hey, y'all.
Smith Jr.
There we go. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
And we got a special guest today, Boniface, Bishop Boniface Shanga.
Wow. Yeah.
He goes by BB.
BB. Usually.
Yeah, BB. So we're going to refer to you as BB. He's in the seat of honor today. And
yes.
Look at that seat, man.
That's right. Jeez, very fitting, too, actually.
I agree.
Very fitting. If any of you guys don't know Boniface, just tell us about where you're from and how you know us.
I'm from Africa, in the southern part of Africa, the nation of Zambia towards the south. And I'm in a little city called Kabwe, which is just 140 kilometers north of our capital city, Lusaka.
Okay.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
Very good. You know, we had you, so to give a little bit of background on how we met and how we came together. The only way I can ever describe it is it was a divine appointment set forth by God in March of 2020, right before COVID hit, when COBIS, actually, the president or CEO of EMIT, you're the president of EMIT.
That's right.
And we're going to dive into EMIT here in just a little bit and what it's all about. But he showed up to a boom luncheon out of nowhere on the first Tuesday of March of 2020. And the more I think about it, and literally we meet a couple of days later, and he says, man, we were so inspired. We're on the same mission as you are, raising up business leaders and young men for the kingdom of God. Yeah. And I thought, you're going to show up from Africa to Lubbock, Texas.
That's right.
On the first Tuesday at lunch.
Right.
Yeah, you can't make this
kind of stuff
up.
Seems really random.
Yeah, it seems random. And I think a lot of people may point to that and be like, oh, it was just random, or it was... I can't think of the other right word, but random. Yeah. And but I look at it from my kingdom lens, and I'm like, man, only God.
Oh yeah,
only God.
That's
and
right.
So we've been running with you guys for the last few years, and this past year, almost a year ago, you came and spoke at the 6-8 Summit.
That's right.
And really brought the house down.
Oh yeah.
You gave two segments. Or two sessions, and the title was "Where Are You, Adam?"
That's right.
And so, if you haven't had a chance, go back and check that out.
Right,
we've got that online somewhere.
Yeah.
We'll find it. We'll link it up somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Let you know where it's at. But we've got it out there. But man, one of the most powerful messages I think I've ever heard for accountability.
Mm-hmm.
For accountability.
Well, I would agree to even just man's position, which we need to be careful because this could be a whole other podcast. But, I mean, it's worth you know, talking about though. Just men in their position at home and how even absenteeism, you can be present but be absent at the same time.
Absolutely.
But that one resonated, man, with a lot of people that were here that day.
Yeah.
So thank you for being here and sharing that. And
amen.
Thank you for being here right now. Kind of a part two, man.
Let's get into it.
Yeah.
With you guys here again, you know.
I'm glad to have you, man.
You're so much a part of us, and being with you here.
Yes, sir.
Stops. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah,
man, we feel the same way.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about, I want to dive into, your books. You're an author as well. So you're Bishop Shanga.
Yeah.
You're also president of EMIT.
Mm.
You're an author.
That's right.
You do a lot of things. And so you actually brought, we had dinner at the house the other night.
Yeah.
Had some friends over, and we just learned more about EMIT and what you guys are doing. And and one of the gifts we gave was your most recent book. And I read that on Sunday. It's a short read.
It's a short read.
It's like 90 pages.
It's a short read,
but it's an impactful read. And I liked it because it didn't take me very long. I don't even know how long, but just while I was watching some games at the same time I was reading, you know, but tell us about that book, what inspired it, and we'll dive in and just have some conversation surrounding it.
That's right. The book, Destined for Greatness, was really inspired by the fact that when God works with us in our lives, it's always a process. It's never an event. I mean, we we do desire to be at a certain level or to experience certain things or to come into a certain position. But we forget that everything God does is a process.
That's good.
You know, he says to the disciples, you know, the Lord Jesus says to them, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Mm-hmm. You know, your duty is to follow. His duty is to make you into what he, to process you into what he has designed you to be. You were born to become somebody. You were born to something. You were born to a particular, you know, destiny. But to get to that, there has to be some process. If you skip the process, you cannot effectively be at the place where God wants you to be. And you know, in that time, just before COVID hit, I was doing my own personal study on that and just for my own blessing. And then it became so powerful and I felt the urge to share it with others. And it's out of that sharing it with others. And one of the team says, hey, these thoughts are too precious to just end up with us. Could you put these into a little thought, a book? And that's how the book came about. That's how the book came about.
That's
destined, you know, for greatness. Boy. But it's really allowing God to process us.
Yeah.
I mean, when the Lord Jesus said to these fishermen, you know, and it was a diverse group, fishermen, tax collectors, and doctor, and, you know, name it. But they were all, it's quite a mix. And I'm thinking, if God sends you on a mission to change the world, what kind of people would you pick? What kind of people would you be looking out for to be part of your staff, you know, on this, you know, all important mission? And here comes the Lord and he picks people that, you know, if we were to vet and nurse, we would say, no way, not these guys.
Right.
I mean, they even say to him when they catch the fish and their little boats are almost sinking, when they say, depart from us. We are men of unclean lips. You know, meaning we don't have the credentials. You are a good man who will ruin your reputation. If the people in the village see you with us, your ministry is up. It's over.
Yeah.
I mean, so thanks for the fish, but depart from us. We are bad news.
Yeah.
And he says, fear not.
Come on.
You know, I will make you.
I will make you.
Will make you.
And I think that was one of the, you know, one of the key things I pulled out of there is, I will make you.
I will make you.
And I think that's one of the things that we, and it's, we've been in this discussion about idols. And I think there's an idol of self that says, I've got to make
self-made man.
That culture will lie, still haven't dove into the
depths of that. We're going to go after that in a minute. That's the next episode. We're going to kill that thing.
Yeah. Self-made man.
Going to stomp that into the ground.
Yeah. One little lie.
I mean, that resonates though, man. And it's a lot. This whole first, what have you been on this, 3 minutes?
Yeah.
Man, I'm almost in tears, man. Just, I'm trying to hold back. Because God is so after us. And think about our own children and how we see them. It's powerful.
That's right.
It's powerful.
True. Yeah. It's very true.
And I think if we can actually grasp the fact that we're created in God's image and he's wired us and he's done all these things. And, and I've said this multiple times probably on here, but I think about me as a home builder. There's never been one time where I have done the exact same house over again. Each one is unique.
Each one is
original. Each one
That's
has its own purpose
as
a house. Now you're going to have your natural purposes of sleeping and eating and, you know, cooking and all that. But it's unique in the fact that like each individual house has its own personality, has own attributes, has its own everything. And that gave me a glimpse of how God creates us.
How God creates us.
And how we're each unique, each one of us a masterpiece.
That's right.
Made in his image, created in his image.
Absolutely.
And creativity.
So, yes.
Yeah. Yes. And so I'd love for you to dive in. So you focus a lot. It seems like in my interactions with you and and understand you have another book called When Kings Dream.
When Kings Dream.
Yeah. And so that was the first book you wrote.
That's right. That was the first book before this one. But When Kings Dream, it's really to do with the fact that everybody that is in a position of influence or leadership must be a dreamer. Because it is when kings dream that certain things begin to happen within the society or the community. It was in the dream of the king that Joseph found an exit from prison to come and serve, and literally for his own dream to be fulfilled.
Right.
It was because he was not serving his dream. He was serving the king's dream.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It was while he was serving the king's dream that his own dream finds its place and he begins to find fulfillment in what God called him to do. But when kings dream, the Josephs will come out of prison. When kings dream, and the future of the nation will be secure. When kings dream, there will be, you know, meaningful productivity. You know, the nation, you know, brought forth, and he assigned that the grain must be stored because he knew what was coming ahead. When kings dream, the future is more secure.
Right.
But imagine for a moment that the king had no dream. The disaster that would befall the nation. Mm. I mean, it all looked well now, but then in another few years, calamity was just around the corner.
Right.
And if the king never had the dream, Joseph will die in prison.
Mm.
And all the answer to the situation, you know, the answer is there, but then it's not found a platform.
A solution, right?
Yeah, and the king creates that. And so literally in that book, we are discussing on the fact that everybody, God has called us to create a platform where others come into play and greater things are achieved.
Right.
And when we begin to think like that, then we can begin to actualize the kingdom of God in the lives of people and make the kingdom of God more relevant.
That's beautiful.
And so that's about, you know, when kings dream.
Yeah.
And it's a bit biased in the sense that I'm looking at my own African context in that book and thinking more about what I see in my continent and what, you know, what is short and what we need to do. That's what I discussed in that book. Yeah.
Gotcha.
But on this one, the one we are currently talking about, you know, Destined for Greatness, you know, I'm focusing on the individual believer because to each one of us, there's an assignment. I mean, to Joseph, there was an assignment. He was born to fulfill that assignment.
Right.
Even from his young age in his father's house, each one of us, he says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you and I ordained you. I mean, God's way of doing things is just mind-boggling. You know, you could go even a bit further. It's more like before your dad met your mom, I knew you and I already had a destiny for you. I assigned something. I knew the day your dad sees your mom and the first day he lays eyes on her. And I knew you would be the product from the two of them. And I knew God goes way back.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we just step in somewhere along the way and he still has things he wants us to fulfill. And so, you know, I'm just part of what God has already purposed beforehand to fulfill and to do. And when I'm born into this world, I must fulfill that destiny.
Right.
However, it's not like you just get into it today and tomorrow, bang, it's done. God has to cultivate you. He's got to do some work in you. Imagine a Joseph that goes up to that high position. And then he crumbles under pressure, so to say. Imagine how many lives would be put at risk because he can't hold it all together. And the reason he can't hold it all together is because he has not been processed. Everybody that is up there and doing it there They have a story to tell you. I know we would love to be that. We would love to be there. We would love to be, you know, in the spotlight and be like him, be like her, you know. But they will all tell you a story that before I came here, I've had to travel. There have been ups and downs. There have been tears and sweat. There have been disappointments. There's been pain. There's
full
been,
range.
You know, I'm so glad when God gave him the dream.
Yeah.
He doesn't tell him the in between. Because if God told him what is in between, it is easy to say, could you find somebody else for that?
Please. I'm out.
And just, I'm out. I'm yeah, out. Yeah. I just can't go through that because it all began with a rejection from his own brothers.
Yeah.
They threw him in the pit, literally left him for dead, buried him alive. Sold him, two of them came, sold him off to slavery to the Ishmaelites.
Talk about it.
But then I say, if he was not rejected, he would not have been thrown in the pit. If he was not thrown in the pit, then he would not have been sold to the Ishmaelites.
Right.
If he's not sold to the Ishmaelites, he has nobody to usher him into Egypt. If he's not ushered into Egypt, Potiphar will not come into contact with him.
Right.
And if he doesn't, you know, get bought by Potiphar to become a slave under Potiphar's employ, he would not meet Mrs. Potiphar. And if he doesn't meet Mrs. Potiphar, he would not go to jail.
Right.
If he doesn't go to jail, he doesn't meet the butler.
That's right.
If he doesn't meet the butler, there's nobody to introduce him to the king.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's nobody to introduce him to the king, he has no platform for the fulfillment
the
of
process,
his dream.
The process.
And sometimes, you know, in life, we come through twists and turns.
Yeah.
And, you know, out of our control, and sometimes we grumble, we cry, we mourn, we think, oh man, I wish I could just turn this thing around.
Oh no.
We have no idea God's hand is into it all. He has to process you. He has to get rid of the sharp edges. He has to sometimes, you know, cut off certain tendencies. He has to kill things in you that would make you vulnerable. You know, when you are in that top position, he's got to deal with it. And he deals with it in the way only he can do. So
that's
I said,
right.
You know, follow me and I will make you.
You say sometimes.
And he's making you has nothing to do with how you want to be made.
Right.
It is the maker who knows what he wants to make.
Yeah.
You have no saying.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you say sometimes, I think a lot of times we grumble a lot.
Shoot, I grumbled last week.
Yeah, I grumble all the time, man. I grumbled last night.
Like, Lord, is this really what you've called me to,
man? Yeah, well, even to the people. Like, why would you bring me into contact with this person? Like,
that's right.
Cause I'm like, I don't see it, God.
Yeah.
And it happens to all of us. I mean, and this, but then on the other hand, you meet people like Keith Toogood, you know?
That's right.
It's like, thank you, Lord, for crossing our paths. And it's the extremes.
That's right.
And God is so about that extreme person
that you
don't know what in the world this person's doing in life. He's hit that. The same love drives us that way.
That's right.
As it drives us towards our brothers that we meet.
Absolutely.
That we'll be lifelong friends with. He's about all of it.
Absolutely.
And that's the part I can't get my head around. It's just, powerful.
Yeah.
Powerful.
It's his sovereign nature.
Yeah, man.
It's omnipotence, omnipresence, all of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
All
yeah.
of it.
That's right.
Yeah.
And he's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's always present. I mean, we can't sustain him. He's the Alpha, the Omega.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's literally nothing that can contain God. Zero.
And then, zero.
Zero.
Zero. Nothing.
And then it's the pain. Yeah. I think the thing that I want you to speak more into for a minute is the pain that people endure.
Yeah.
So many people, and you see it on social media, you see it in society, the depression, the anxiety, the pain that people go through, a lot of that pain that we go through, really, God is the author of it.
Yeah.
He's the one that sent you into it because he has to produce something. And a lot of Christians cursing God and cursing the blessing, not realizing that God ordained that pain for you. And I think that's really, to me, that's relevant to say and to kind of, you know, address.
That's right.
What would you say to that, man, the people who are just listening to this podcast and who might be in a place where, you know what, I don't know why I'm going through this and the pain,
right.
and they raise the fist up against God. What would you speak to that?
You know, I would really say, Roswell, because if you look at this and see the twists and turns when God is leading us on, and we don't direct that path. But mm-hmm. here is a guy that is rejected by his own family. You know, I can handle being rejected by people that are outside my family circles. You see what I mean? I mean, you know, my close team. But how do you handle being rejected by those of your own house? You know, flesh and blood. And this is where it all began. I mean, you know, how do you handle that? Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you are down in that pit, first you've seen your coat of many colors torn to pieces, and you see what these guys are doing, and they mean business. This is, they have their own differences, but when it comes to dealing with me, they all speak with one voice. They just hate me. They don't like me.
Right.
And you know, when you're down in that pit and that stone closes up, it's like a bad dream, but it's not. Only that this is a real one. It's not a dream. This is reality. This is occasioned me by members of my own house,
right.
My father's own sons. I believe down there in that dark pit, tears freely roll, you know, as Joseph is coming to terms with what has happened. And this is being buried alive. They just want to put an end to him. But you cannot put an end to what God has planted into a person. You cannot can't bury God's dream in a man.
Right.
And two of them return.
That's right.
And when they pull that stone out, the tears have now run dry. He's still crying, but there's no tears to come out anymore.
Mm.
He's finished everything in the tanks. You know, we all sometimes pass through that.
Oh, yeah.
And you think, maybe now I'm going home when they bring down this basket and I'm being taken up, and you know, I still have my eyes shut because the light is too much. I'm trying to adjust to the light out. And then I hear coins, you know, 3, 4, 15, 20, 29, 30.
Mm.
It hits me. I'm not going home.
Mm.
I've just been sold off. Chains come on me.
Yeah.
And, you know, probably a whip wakes me up into reality. And, you know, when that whip hits my back and I realize, man, you know, I am not going home. I see those two riding.
I'm a prisoner.
Oh, man, I'm going in the opposite direction. How do you handle that?
Well, and how do you handle the fact that just prior to that, Joseph was 17 years old.
He's a teenager.
Crazy.
He's a teenager.
Young dude, yeah.
He's the youngest in the family.
Yeah. And he's
golly.
He's a teenager having these dreams.
Yes.
And then you have to know doubt began to creep in his mind.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, Lord, you've showed me this. Am I insane?
Yeah.
Like, am I
going crazy?
This is not not what you showed me.
That's right.
And it's not until he's 40 years old. Close to it, right?
39. Yeah.
He's 39 years old.
When fulfillment begins to show up. True, kid.
Yeah, man.
And that's why we are also in that book discussing patience.
Hmm.
Because we live in a generation that loves instant.
Right now.
Right now. He had a dream at 17, as you rightly say. And in the Bible, it says he stood before Pharaoh at age 30.
Mm-hmm.
So from 17, you know, to 30, that's another 13 years.
Yep, almost 15, yeah.
And then, you know, there have to be 7 years of plenty.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 20 years.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then it was in the second years, because second year of the years, or the year of lack,
mm-hmm.
because in the first year, they could eat of the harvest from the year of plenty.
Right.
But it is in the second year when Jacob sends his sons to say, look, things are not right here. We can't just sit idle. You must go down to Egypt.
Right.
So he's about 42.
Mm-hmm.
When his brothers actually come and they don't recognize him, but they go down before him.
Yeah.
Why should God show me something at 17 that he brings to come to pass at 41?
Yeah.
Man, wouldn't it be good to dream at 17 and then and 17 and a half for 18.
Yo, I'm there, man. Stepping into it.
Isn't that great?
Stepping into it, yeah.
But, you know, God always has to work on you.
Yeah.
You will thank God why he had to work on you when you sit there.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're solid.
Hmm.
Because you have been properly prepared to
Come on, man.
So the patience is also part of it.
Yeah.
Powerful.
Yeah. And I think, you know, one of the things that you pointed out in the book, and it's something I wrote in a chapter that I wrote as well.
Yeah.
Hadn't been produced or anything like that, but I love to write as well.
Yes.
And I've loved diving into scripture in a new way over the last 5-6 years, to where I just read scripture totally differently.
Mm-hmm.
To where I try and put myself in the shoes in the story of the person, and from all angles, you
that's
know,
it.
Like
that's it.
Even with Moses and the Israelites as they're fleeing, like I want to put myself in Moses' shoes. I want to put myself in the Israelite shoes who are following this dude.
That's right.
I put myself in the Egyptian shoes, and I'm like, all right, here we come. You know, like we're coming.
That's
so
right.
Like I've learned to read scripture differently, and really, ultimately, I think that's Holy Spirit leading
that's
me.
Right.
That's ultimately, I think that's the only way that you can dive into scripture, and because otherwise it's just a book.
Otherwise
it's just a book, and there's just nothing there. But one of the things that you pulled out that I also saw was in chapter 39, and throughout all this it says, "And God was with Joseph."
God was with Joseph.
And it's repeated probably 5, 6, 7 times over and over that he says, "And God was with Joseph."
Yes.
And so speak to kind of that whole process.
Yeah, and this, you know, you say, how does somebody handle this pain? The answer is right there.
Yep.
God was with Joseph.
That's right.
And the greater the pain or the twists and turns often indicate the greater the assignment. Because God has to prepare you well for what you're coming into.
Mm-hmm.
And you may think, it seems like others are having it easy. Why me? Why me? Why always me? Because God, when he prepares you for something, you know, you'll feel like, you know, all the weight is on you.
Yeah.
It's always an indicator you're called into a greater assignment. Mm-hmm. And God doesn't take chances.
That's right.
You have to be prepared right. And God is present, even when it seems like he's not.
Yep.
It's because he was present.
That's right.
That the two, apparently, you know, even when he takes him from his father's house, do you know if God had to ask Jacob for his youngest son, Jacob would not let him go?
That's right.
God knew that. Yeah. I cannot get Joseph from Jacob.
Mm.
Even if I asked for him, he wouldn't let him go. This is his favorite son, the son he loves. He has made him a coat of many colors, distinguished him from the rest. And this is, you know, his heart is right here.
Yeah.
And God knows there's no other way of taking him from home except the unconventional way.
So many dynamics, man.
And his own brothers have to be ushers, you know, initially to usher him out of home.
Right.
And then the Ishmaelites take it up and then usher him into Egypt, where his dream is really set to be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And Potiphar is there to be the, you know, the man that initially is the guardian of it all for 3.5 years.
Right.
And then the jailer takes over. Now, look at how many people come into his life, including Mrs. Potiphar. I mean, she's also a special part of this. She played a part.
She surely is.
You know. So everybody has had a part. And sometimes we meet people and we feel, man, I wish I never met him or her. And then, you know, somehow we feel we are left a bit bruised. And then we go into the next chapter. And maybe there's a bright moment, you know, in Potiphar's house, you know, when I become the manager of his entire estate and things look good for a season, but there is this persistent problem from his wife, you know, never goes away and eventually becomes a thing that takes me to the other next, you know, level. Mm-hmm. And in all this, sometimes it's difficult to see God, Keith. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're asking, you know, where is God in all this?
Mm.
And sometimes not knowing that he's there.
Yeah,
he's always been there, and the Lord was with Joseph.
Yeah.
You know, Potiphar saw it, the Lord was with Joseph. The jailer saw it.
Yeah,
the chief warder saw it. Even the king sees it because he says, can we find any other man in whom, you know, the presence of God dwells as in this man?
Wow.
So even the king, no matter where Joseph was, you would see God.
Yeah.
Well, that's powerful.
Yeah, you can see there's one glimpse of Joseph's frustration that comes out.
Yes.
And for the most part, it seems like Joseph really tries to, you know, honor others.
That's
and that's one of the things that you talk about in the book as well.
Yep.
You know, but there's one moment where he's talking to the baker.
Yes.
And he says, I'm not supposed to be here.
I'm not.
And you can tell he's frustrated because he knows the plans that God has shown him to some degree.
That's right.
And he's like, please remember me. I'm not supposed to be here.
That's right.
And 2 years passes, is that right? Before they bring him back up for the king's dream?
Yeah, the Bible says the man forgot about him.
He forgot about him. Yeah.
Yeah, so he did. Yeah. That's right.
About him.
Yep. Human nature.
Yeah. Yeah.
He
got what he wanted.
Human error, bro.
He got what he wanted. And
he got what he wanted.
What you would think, you know, how we operate in this world, human error.
Yeah.
It's like you could trace all these problems even in society, even in government, you know. Yeah. I think about my time in D.C. with all of these people on the Hill and, you know, politicians and government employees. And it's like, man, human error is all over their process out there.
That's right.
Like, to the point, like, things you wouldn't probably would believe now, but, like, what in the world? Like, they did what?
Yeah.
You think about that. Mm. And you said it in the Jeep on the way over here. God does not send amateurs to the front line.
Correct.
And that boy, he's preaching in the Jeep. God, hey, I should have pressed record on my phone.
Yeah.
But seriously, though, man, like, you know, you scratch your head at how awesome God is.
That's right.
And how really powerful this story is where you see the pain. But I also wanted to talk about the hope.
That's
I'm going to throw you another one. So the hope in the, in the story.
That's right.
This brother man gets to his place as leader in this government, in this political structure.
That's right.
That's what it was.
Yes.
And his family come walking through the door, and they see him.
They see him.
And he sees them.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's no words to articulate that moment.
Yes. Yeah.
The fulfillment of and really how emotional that must have been. I can't even put my head in my, I can't put my mind can't even get around that.
You know,
speak to the hope and the place that God is trying to get us to, like he was bringing and carrying Joseph to.
That's right.
Speak to that, man, if you would.
You know, in the midst of all the pain, the hope is there because God has given you a glimpse. There's something that refuses to die. You know, what I saw at the age of 17, I know it. I know when I woke up that morning, I know it. I know it. There's something out there. There's something, you know, that's to come. It's painful right now. I'm passing through the valley. It's been one thing after the other and after the other. But there's something that keeps me alive and keeps me looking up. And I know there's a confirmation within. There's something coming.
Wow, man.
You know, and that's how God operates, really. You know, is that there is something that is already implanted into us.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that why we survive everything else. In fact,
that's right.
What we carry, in essence, carries us.
Yeah, that's good.
What we carry from God, that's what is carrying us.
It's really carrying
there
us,
were
right.
moments so when we could have given up. We could have just let go. But what you carry says, no, this man cannot die. This guy cannot go under. He's carrying something. And until he fulfills that, even if the vehicle rolls 10 times, he's got to stay alive. There's a mission that has to be accomplished.
Well, that's really interesting because I was in a wreck where our car rolled 3 times.
Boy.
Back in college, me and my roommate, and we got off in this embankment. Well, anyway, we hit, and we're in a little Ford Ranger, little thing.
Who was driving?
My roommate was.
Oh man!
Yeah.
Ooh, I bet you was like, "What's
so
going on?"
I was a passenger, Man. And man, I will never forget, we hit, I think just like in a, it was a construction zone. Mm. And so there was all this debris and I think some asphalt that they had piled up and dumped. And we spun and then we hit that asphalt sideways.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And it literally sent us, we're probably going 50 miles an hour at that point. We probably slowed down a little bit. We were right. in the 60s, you know, yeah. driving down the highway.
Yeah.
We hit that thing. And I remember all I did is my dad taught us whenever we grew up water skiing, yeah. we went into this tuck and yes. like literally like
fetal just, position.
Yep,
yes, sir.
You cover up, yeah. cover your head so a ski doesn't come in. Well, I went and naturally into that position.
Mm.
And I remember we flipped and I opened my eyes in the middle of it and all this debris was just like all in my face.
Yes.
And I just I closed my eyes as quick as I could.
Yeah.
And we land upside down and it's silent. And I don't know, I haven't opened my eyes.
Yeah.
And I look at, or I didn't look, but I just said to my, I just said out loud, I said, are you okay? And my roommate responded, thankfully. And he goes, yeah, just like that. Like he couldn't believe what just happened. He goes, yeah.
That was the hand of God.
And
preservation,
he goes,
man,
are you okay?
Life.
And I was like, yeah, I'm good. And he goes, how are we going to get out of here? And I kid you not, this truck was totaled. Windshields were blown out, everything. Neither one of us walked away with, we didn't have a scratch.
That's crazy.
We didn't have a broken bone.
No bruise,
no
bruises, nothing.
Nothing.
But come on,
I'm
man.
I'm telling you, we walked
That's
away
it.
From
hey.
That. And I was like, yeah. And later in life, I was like, why did I not die?
Right.
Why did I not die? Right. And the only thing right. I can say is right. that like, now we're doing this and, and we're having impact and we're trying to raise up leaders
That's
and we're
right.
trying to
your children
and God's yeah
all
and
the
children,
things man
yeah.
so many things
and so like I look at it and I'm like God had a call in my life
yeah
oh
and,
yeah
and I need to recognize that like dude he protected me in all that you know and so
but not only that though in moments to speak to this dude directly you know
yeah.
stuff he's been through as a business owner I coach guys like him and so I have a heart for dudes that go through stuff in their business And I saw God's hand on his life, bro, the last 2 years as you've been going through some here's and there's. And you're like, man, you're just taking shots. But here's the deal.
I'm in the corner, man.
Hey, look, hey, my boy, but he's tried.
Yeah.
And even holding back from this part, he's been tested because God don't send amateurs to the front line. The world has been chasing after this concept since
That's
the beginning
right.
of time.
That's right.
The organization, some of the most successful organizations put their leaders through the most harshest storms, trials. Why? Why? For that very same reason. Why do Marines,
right.
frogmen go through Hell Week? Why, Navy
right.
SEAL, why do they put these guys
right.
through harsh conditions?
Absolutely.
Why? Special ops, why?
Yes.
Yeah. It's because they know that I can't put you up here.
Correct.
Unprepared.
Correct.
I won't do it.
Yeah.
Drill sergeants,
yeah.
master sergeants.
Absolutely.
I would not do it.
Yeah.
I would not send a fleet of guys
that's
to the front lines who have not been tried.
That's the
and
thing.
So that's the word
yes.
that I wanted to get
that's it.
And lob it up.
I mean, the master sergeant knows if he will survive, I must put
yeah.
him through this.
Come on, man.
It's not comfortable.
Yeah.
It's not something
yeah.
he would love to go through. But in that day, when he's standing between death and life,
yeah,
it's
preach.
This that's what will count.
That's it.
That's what will count for him and for the others that are with him.
Yeah.
And you know, so that's what we say. God doesn't send amateurs to the front line.
No.
You have to be prepared.
You have to be tested.
You have to pass through it all. And at the end of it all, like you, Keith, I also, when I read my Bible, I put myself in
Yes.
it. I want to be there.
Gotta get
I want
in there,
to
yeah.
see it. And he has given instructions. If anybody comes to buy grain from Canaan, don't sell without letting me know. He has interest in that part of the world.
Right.
If anybody comes from the Kush,
that's right.
Or you can sell. You don't need to consult me.
He's prepared.
And on this particular day, people say there's a group of guys. They're from Canaan. And they all claim to be sons of one man. They've come to buy grain. He says, all right, I'm coming.
Wow. He knew.
And he's the second in command. So they already tell the guy's protocols. You know, the guy coming in here, we don't know why he would want to see you anyway, but anybody from Canaan must not buy grain without his express permission.
Yeah, man, yeah.
When he comes here, you must pay homage.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the guy say, well, you don't need to drill us on that. We know this very well.
Okay.
The number two man in Egypt, we know exactly what to do.
Yeah.
And when Joseph appears,
Think
they all go down.
Yeah. The dream manifested.
He recognizes them. They don't recognize him.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about the emotions at that time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
After all this pain.
Well, he leaves and he cries.
He leaves.
Yep.
He
leaves.
Goes behind it.
He goes behind. Has to go process
it. He weeps.
He weeps.
He yeah. weeps.
Processing it, yeah.
Washes his face.
Yeah.
Dries with a towel. Returns. And the whole process is repeated. They go down again.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, because God gave him the dream twice.
Twice.
Wow.
And whenever God gives you something twice, it shall surely come to pass. Mm. Verily, verily, I say
pass
unto
the offer
you.
Plate, B.O.B. right now. Pass the offer plate. Pass the offer plate.
You know, because it shall surely come to pass. It may seem was taking long, but it's coming.
These are nuggets, man.
And that's why he's overwhelmed with so much emotion.
So here's what I want to do. I want to pause.
Yeah.
And let's do a part two. Because I want to continue this conversation.
Mm-hmm. It's a good place to stop.
Yeah, it's a good place to stop. And I want to come back. I want to keep talking about this because this is not something that's small. I don't think this is something that we can just one time digest.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot here. And there's a lot of people going through some really tough times.
Yeah.
And I think we also got to come against culture. And what culture tells us, and this instantaneous microwave, if you want to call it that, culture and Facebook and all that kind of stuff. So we're going to pause for a minute, and then we're going to pick this conversation back up for a part two.
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
In the meantime, you guys go out and be the epicenter of the boom.
If you liked what you heard today on the Epicenter, be sure and click that subscribe button down below and click the bell so that you're notified whenever we drop new content. Also, be sure to connect with us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. And know that you can find all of our episodes on your favorite platform, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. Now go out, be the epicenter of the boom.